Caleb Collier said,
I'm proposing that the city of Spokane Valley issue a proclamation stating that our city is a Second Amendment sanctuary city.
Welcome to the fire. Welcome to the fire.
Today on Church and State, we'll be joined by Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer. Hello, Christian Patriots, and welcome to Church and State, where we strive to plug you into the pew and plug you into politics. I'm your host, Caleb Collier. With me, as always, Pastor Gabe Blomgren. Once again, your favorite far-right shock jocks and the most schizophrenic show you listen to on a daily basis.
The only show that's going to cover the most two illegal, most intense topics, politics and faith, put them in the same room, and then the referee is Jesus Christ.
Love it. Hey, go on over to churchandstate.media. Take advantage of all of our shows. You're going to want to share this one. This is going to be a fantastic episode. And the latter part of it, you're only going to get on churchandstate.media or our Rumble page. So check those out. Also, take advantage of all of our fine affiliates. I'm going to rush through these. Hey, buy some gold. Go to Beverly Hills Precious Metals. Andrew Sorcini is the best in the business. Use that promo code churchandstate. You're going to get a discount. We're going to get some of that back. You can also donate specifically to our show. Just hit that donate button either at the bottom or the top of the page. That keeps us on the American Christian Network. And lastly, if you want to get hold of us, churchandstate1776@proton.me. All right, I rushed through those because I want to bring on our guest. I'm very excited to have him on. If you don't know who Coach Dave is, where have you been? This is a 35-year high school football coach. And he was attacked by the ACLU. You know, those great people over there. Why was he attacked? Oh, he dared to pray with his players. Oh, can you believe that? Yeah. So he was sued by the ACLU, and he won. That's right, Christians. You can stand up, and you can slay the giant. And Coach Dave is a great example of that. So with that, Coach Dave, thank you for joining us on Church of State.
Man, great to be on with you guys. You know what? Listen, first of all, we better understand this. It's a lie of the separation between the church and state. There is a separation. I know you guys know this, but I got to get it out of me, right? There is a separation, but the separation is to keep the daggone government out of the church. It was never to keep the church out of the government. And so we look at what happened during COVID and all that stuff to see that the church bowed its knee to the government and shut down. Because why? That shows how far we have fallen, how bad our educational system is, how blind our pastors are, that they would even understand, that they would think Romans 13 tells them that Almighty God bows his knee to government. Dudes, that's ridiculous, isn't it? But that's what we're dealing with here in America. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. We heard about you way back in the day, and those of you who've been with us, kind of our inception, the way we got started is two people. Totally different people, Alex Jones and the Hagmans. Doug is still firing away. God rest his soul of his son. He is an amazing man. And he's like, to me, just like high caliber individual. We've been, you know, those two people, Alex Jones and Doug Hagman, really, really affected us back in, I'd say like 2014.
I would say Justin Fall as well. We were both really big.
Yeah. The third watch. So, but we back in the day would hear this. Can I, it's all right if I say your voice is crusty. You have this gruff, like coach's voice.
Yeah.
So we would hear on Hagman, this crusty, just intense guy. And we loved your heart. And we also loved your passion about the pro-life movement. And Caleb said off of air, through Ken Peters and the Church of Planned Parenthood, I've been sued by Planned Parenthood, been told that I can't even be within 200 feet of the building, including public property, which is a sidewalk. They've told me I can't even stand on it. So having you here, a lot of what we want to talk about today are two things. Number one, what does it even mean to be pro-life? And I couldn't think of a more like perfect expert to talk about that with you. Like your dynamic as far as being able to say, hey, what does it even mean? Does the word pro-life even have any meaning or metric value that we can quantifiably measure? So your thoughts on that, Coach?
Well, it's nothing more than a political position, right? It's a check that you mark when they ask you your political affiliation. Yeah, you're pro-life. But the reality of it, pardon me. Look, I'm a coach. I do have a hoarse voice. I'm glad I did a lot of yelling in my day. All right. I earned this hoarse voice. But the reality of it is we're so confused in the church. Exactly. First of all, what it is I ask people, what is it that a Christian does? Not what a Christian believes.
Right.
What is it? How would you, if, you know, I know what a plumber does. You guys know what a plumber does? You drive someplace down the road and you see some guy working up on the pole and he says, well, that's a lineman. That guy's working on the line. You drive down the road and some other guy's, he's out there towing somebody a car. He said, well, that guy's got a tow truck. That's what he does. What do Christians do?
Make disciples.
Come on.
What do they do, right? Make disciples. What does that look like, right? So for that whole mess, when I got radically born again back in a long time ago, back as a young guy, when I received Christ, it did for me what a phone booth did for Clark Kent. And I've always been an all-in kind of guy. I thought so. That's the way Christianity was supposed to be played. And when I got sued by the ACLU in 1997 and saw the cowardly church turn and run away from a coach praying on the football field, I said, I didn't lose my job. I laid it down. I saw what was going on. I said, I'm going to go out and I'm going to wake everybody up here. And I said, I got to go out and wake up the pastors, let them know the British are coming. We got to stand
come on.
And it was the worst disappointment of my life to find out they didn't care. Pastors didn't care, right? They just wanted to hold their church service. They just make everybody feel good, get patted on the back, let the tithes money come running in and live their life. And so I've been kind of I'm not a church orphan. I guess I am a church orphan kind of by choice, but I'm looking again, what do Christians do? What does it look like? How do you recognize one? And that's what I've been trying to do the last 20 some years at Coach Dave Live. I do a daily podcast. We train, equip, mobilize the saints for the work of the ministry. I'm not a pastor. I'm an ordained minister, not a pastor. I'm a coach. Cause you know why? Coaches can say things pastors can't get away with.
Amen.
That's why I like being on a talk radio host, because I can say whatever I want. Let me ask you this, Dave. The similarities, and I don't know if you've read Letter to the American Church or seen the film yet, but the similarities of what occurred in Nazi Germany and America today, we're seeing a very similar pattern with pastors who just want to go along to get along. And you brought up all the reasons. You know, they just want to make sure that they're growing, that the tithes are coming in, that they just preach a message of love, because that's all Jesus is love, 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 right? And they're turning a blind eye to what's currently going on in our country. And what is going on in our country is Christianity, our moral standards are under severe attack, and they're radically transforming America into a country that we won't recognize anymore.
So everybody get out a piece of paper and a pencil and write this down, because you will find it in Isaiah 56:10. And it says, Israel's watchmen are blind.
Right.
They're all dumb dogs, afraid to bark, loving to slumber. That's our Christian leadership. We have the worst Christian leadership in the history of the world right now in the good old U.S. of A. And one of the reasons that happened is the lie of the separation between the church and state and all the stuff that the seminaries were teaching, that pastors now believe Roman 13 means obey the government no matter what the heck they do, and that we're not supposed to get involved with government. There's a separation between the church and state. We're not going to mix the secular with the sacred. We're not going to turn our pulpit into a religion. You know how the game goes, right, guys? And as a result of it, there is such confusion in the pulpit, in the pew, that you can claim to be pro-life and still be for abortion. You know that's a position of many churches, right? Mm-hmm. And I heard a pastor say one time, well, Coach Dave, I can't bring that up in my congregation because we have people in our church who are pro-choice. I said, what? You got people in your church who think it's okay to kill babies? What's wrong with you, dude? Run them out. That's what I would do.
Let me ask you a question, Dave. We actually read an article, and I, you know, this is just a yes or no. Can you actually be a Christian and be a Democrat? I'm not trying to galvanize and isolate people. I think we're at a place where we got to help our Democrat brothers and sisters out by just shining a light on, hey, if you were a 1964, 65, you know, John F. Kennedy Democrat, those days are gone. If in fact, you're like just a normal conservative, you're actually probably closer to the 60s Democrats. So I just want to ask you the question, can you be a Christian and be a Democrat?
Well, we're getting to the point where I ask myself, can I be a Christian and be a Republican?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Right? But, so I tell everybody this. When I go to the ballot box, I claim to be a Republican. But when I go to the ballot box, the number one issue for me is pro-life. And if I have somebody who is pro-choice, I cannot vote for them. Democrat, Republican, it doesn't matter. I can't do that. Why? Because it tells us in Matthew and scriptures, escapes me right now. It says, be better for you. Jesus suggested suicide, fellas. He said, it'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck and throw yourself into the deepest part of the ocean than to mislead one of these little ones who believe in me, right? So when I go to the ballot box, I look first and foremost, what is that guy's position on children? And if his position on children is wrong, I ain't voting for him, including cutting off their dingers, including teaching them homosex, teaching all that stuff, right? See, children are serious, serious business, fellas, serious business. And the pastors don't understand that they're going to be held accountable by the Lord, greater accountability than me, because they knew better. And they had the obligation to warn the wicked. But unfortunately, they're dumb dogs, meaning dumb, can't speak, deaf and dumb. Dumb dogs, afraid to bark. We got guys in the pulpit won't bark anymore.
It's so well said. You know, you asked us, what does a Christian even mean? Like, what do you do? And that's our commandment, right? Is to go and make discipleship or disciples. Yeah. And so many churches nowadays, they bring people in and they give them a dunk and they lead them through the sinner's prayer and then send them back into the world. You're saved now. No. That's in fact, you know, the Bible tells us, you know, you cast out a demon and he goes out into the dry places and after a time collects, you know, seven worse demons and brings them right back to the home, right? The host. And so, that discipleship, it requires work. And so if you have people inside your church who are pro-choice, who are pro-socialism, whatever it may be, whatever it may look like, as a pastor, you are required to disciple that person into realizing the error in their ways or their thought process. And we're not seeing that in the church these days.
No, we're not. And again, why? Dumb dogs afraid to bark, right? See, another one that gets under my skin is if somebody said, Coach Dave, what do you do? And you say, I'd say, well, I'm a missionary. He said, oh, really? You go to Haiti? You go to Puerto Rico? Where do you go, Coach Dave? Downtown. What? Yeah.
Yeah.
My mission field's right here, dude. And I got no... See, when people... I don't give money to people who go on missions trips because they're nothing more than fancy vacations, right? They go to warm elements, warm climates. I'm not saying it might be a little bit tough down there, but first of all, they got no business going there because the Bible says go to Jerusalem first. That's your hometown. Judea, your home state. And then to the uttermost parts of the world. And if you're not doing mission work right where you live, dude, you ain't got no business going anyplace else, right? So again, we've taken this thing called missions and we've made it way far away, other place. Because if you do missionary work right where you live, there's accountability with it, baby. You lead some guy to the Lord, you have a responsibility to disciple that guy. You don't just ship him off like Billy Graham did, saved him by the bundles. People walk an aisle, say a prayer, and went back and lived the hellish life that they always did live because there was no discipleship and no follow-up. So what we try to do, what I do in my show, Coach Dave Live, I'm not pounding myself on the chest, guys. I just want you to know I'm a coach, and I do a show every day, and I have got guys doing stuff all across America, right where they live in their little small towns, school board meetings, city council meetings, library meetings.
Come on.
That's where we're going to win this battle. Not in Haiti, all right?
Right.
Not in Haiti. I'm sorry, let me go on here a minute. Because I just got an email from some guy that just picked me off, right? He says, as I hear all the time from Christians, Coach, we need to be worried about saving souls, not saving America.
Right, yes.
Yeah. I say, you dummy. If my mom taught me that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And if I save America to what it's supposed to be, maybe I won't have to have so many lost children I'm trying to save. Why? What's wrong with you, dude, that you can't understand the relationship between those two things? By the way, religion is politics.
Yeah.
It is politics, right? And so when some pastor stands up in the pulpit and says, we're not going to mix religion and politics, he's lying because he's already mixing them. And his is non-confrontational, right? That's what his politics are. And so that's why I don't even know you guys, but what I love about you, Matt Tuella and Flip Benham and Rusty Thomas and Jason Storm, these are all guys that
local
I cut
guys.
My teeth with out on the streets, what? Standing up against the forces of darkness and being hated by the local church.
Oh,
that
boy.
Is the truth.
Yeah, for sure. Every time Jason or Rusty would come into our town, they are not shying away. They always, and it even, I guarantee you, it offends the second you see a poster board with cut up baby parts. It would just absolutely just frustrate Christians because they would say that doesn't bring people to Christ. The problem is, though, this is a local battle. General Flynn, who is a friend of ours, who we've just been blessed to just even be around, his mantra is local, 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 local. Do everything you can locally. The local mission is more important than the Washington, D.C. mission. Do you really think that you're going to affect the United Nations or you're going to affect the judiciary infiltration of absolute corruption? The thing you can affect is your street corner. Start with your street corner. Start with your whatever you can touch in your area. And I know one thing that pastors think is they think that they're not influential. Let me give you an example. Ken Peters, I don't know if you like him or love him. Leftists hate him. But the thing is when he finally started pushing on through the Church of Planned Parenthood, he pushed on the doors of Planned Parenthood and he affected their bottom line. I know it because here's what happened. He was brought into the whole entire city council, including at the time the mayor, Nadine Woodward, and she looked at Ken and said, this is what she said. She said, why can't you do what you do in your church? You dare come outside the four walls and affect people? And I actually feel like there's more gas that we need to pour on. And I'm like, let's do it even more because it was working. And what ended up happening is we kind of retreated a little bit because they sued us. And God dang it, or gosh darn it, this is money. I hate it when money scares us.
Well, a lot of things scare us, right? But guys, the reality of it is modern Christian, I hear from them all the time, right? I hear from Coach, just preach the gospel, Coach, just preach the gospel, as if rescuing a baby isn't preaching the gospel.
Right.
An abortion will destroy, it is the gospel. Number one, God, that's a little child created in the image of God, right? Has every right to live. In fact, the Constitution says to ourselves and our posterity. So pro-life is in the Constitution. But if I go and rescue that baby and keep it from being killed, not only do I save that baby, do you understand the grief I've saved the mother? That the rest of her life, she's not going to be looking over her shoulder, remembering what she did. And when she had her first real baby and gave birth to it, remember the one that she killed? Folks, to think that you can somehow share Christ and not get involved with the culture is absolute foolishness.
It is. And I mean, also, you've saved her health-wise as well, because the studies that have proven that cancer rates go up, depression, or suicide, all this goes up with women who have had multiple abortions. So I love what you just said about a pastor. Just preach the gospel. Just preach the gospel. I hear that. Excuse me. I hear that all the time as well. And my response is no. I am. You're not. Can you start preaching the gospel? Because typically, what we see within pastors is they almost just want to stay in the you know, the gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and they don't go into anything else really. And they're just you know, I brought it up before. They're just preaching that message of love. Well, there's nothing more unloving than loving somebody to hell. And that's currently what we're seeing in the church is, hey, just come on in. We're going to accept you where you are. And I'm not even talking about the Methodists who have gone like full blown woke, you know, and there's other denominations as well. I'm talking about your average church that just wants to bring people in to love on them. And they don't ever disciple them. They don't ever show them, hey, your path that you're on right now, it's leading you to hell.
Well, how about this one? Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness.
Come on.
But rather, expose them. But you can't do that because you're judgmental. And you're not supposed to judge, right? You with me, guys?
Yeah.
I mean, we are so schizophrenic and we don't even understand it. Can I tell you why? John Cooper, the former football coach at Ohio State University, I was a football coach. So I went to some football clinics. I'll never forget what he said at one of those clinics, talking about the aggressiveness of a young football player. He said, if he doesn't bite as a puppy, he won't bite as a dog. Talking about the nature of somebody, right? And I immediately went to Isaiah 56:10. They're dumb dogs, afraid to bark. They didn't bark as puppies, and they ain't going to bark now. But here's the good news. I think God is turning over the pulpit. And one of the greatest things that happened for the advancement of the kingdom of God was COVID. Mm-hmm. Because COVID What did it do? It exposed the phony pastors, the ones who were serving themselves. It says in First John 10, right, that the thief cometh but to kill and to steal and to destroy. That's the pastors. Read that scripture, right? They're the hireling pastors. All of that got exposed. And I saw that one of the amazing things that happened during all that COVID shutdown is a lot of people started doing church online, but they weren't watching their church. Mm-hmm. They were watching other guys, and all of a sudden their eyes opened up. And yeah. Oh my goodness, right? So there's a great awakening that's going on. It's going to take a while for it to show up, but we're moving from a peacetime pastorate, which is really what we've had, tune in, turn on, drop out, right?
Right.
To a wartime pastor. We're heading to that, fellas, because that's what it's going to require. I don't know about you guys. I got several friends locked up in J6, several of them. I was there. I don't know why they haven't come out. They got me yet. But what it is, the old saying, smite the shepherd, sheep will scatter. Mm-hmm. So they went after the leaders, didn't they? They went after the leaders, hoping everybody else would be scared to death and not say anything about it. It's a spiritual war, and we got to be smart and understand, not be ignorant of his devices, but we are. We don't even believe in the supernatural in the church anymore.
No, we shy away from that. And I love what you just said about COVID. There were so many silver linings to COVID. And one of those was most certainly that it exposed the church. I coined a phrase during COVID that great oppression breeds great opportunity. And that's what we saw there, right? The churches, right. Gabe and I were going to a church, same church, and they opened, they were closed for like 2 weeks and they were like, we're not doing this. No. Don't forsake the gathering, right? And so they opened up. And what happened to that church? It grew massively. We were doing 2 services, 3 services, right? And so many of these churches that opened up or never closed down at all, that's exactly what they saw. And then the people were hungry, right? Because everybody else, the mainstream media, the government, all the talking heads, they're all telling you the same thing. And we naturally strive towards truth because we're made in God's image, so we pursue truth. And when everything is a lie, that gives Christians such an opportunity to be the one source of truth.
I couldn't agree more. And why? See, my good buddy, your good buddy, Matt Tuella, he just nails it, right? It's all about appearances. People, pastors shut down their churches because they wanted to appear that they cared, appear that they obeyed the government,
right?
Appear, right? Right? It was all about appearances. And, Bible says this, right, that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to the purpose. And the Lord took that massive, foolish COVID stuff, and he's doing work like we can't even believe. We have not seen the good fruit that's going to come from the COVID lockdowns that we all went through.
His boss, Charlie Kirk, gives a good metric. You know, he has 2 good metrics. One, was your church ever open post-COVID in a timely manner? Did they do like the whole, do you remember that whole, like you had to check in online?
Yeah.
Some churches had like only 200 members in a church of 2000. And you had like a queue. Yeah. The idea had to get online and do that. He said, if your church did that, please tell me.
Let me interrupt you. Cause what does that do for the suicidal man,
right,
who is at the end of his rope and he goes to the church and he says, you know, I need help. Oh, did you register? I'm sorry. Then you can't come in. Right.
Got your mask on?
Yeah. Sorry. Continue with your thought.
The other thing is, Charlie has this great metric, and I want you to throw out a metric that you can give a quantifiable like thing. And so hear this, but then maybe the Lord will trigger something. But Charlie said, how do you know if you're going to a woke church? And it doesn't mean that they teach necessarily wokeism overtly. Okay. This is one way you can know subjectively there's something off in the leadership. Is post the day after Roe v. Wade is now pushed back to the states, and we saw one of the most awesome moments. Okay, yes, Roe v. Wade is done, but we still have abortion on a statewide level. But cool thing is states like Tennessee, you know, states like Oklahoma,
Alabama,
yeah. They're getting financial blessing.
Mostly Southern states, by the way.
Yeah. But he said, if your church, the day that was changed and given back to the states, if your church was silent, didn't say a thing, didn't nothing on the Facebook, nothing on the Instagram, nothing on the webpage, nothing, even from the pulpit, he said, why are you still there?
Amen, buddy.
I love
that's
that.
That's a great metric, right? And funny you would say that, because our daughter and her husband and their family. They go down the street to one of these evangelifish churches. You know what I mean?
I've never heard that before. That is great.
Spine.
Yeah. Yeah, Chris without a backbone. And so they go down to one of those churches, and they on Sunday morning they went in after Roe versus Wade was overturned on Friday night, and they can't wait to go to church and hear what their pastor says about it. You know what he said? Nothing. Nothing. Didn't say anything about it. Because you know what they've told us for how many years? Supreme Court. We're against abortion, but you know, that's Supreme Court, daggone. They've ruled and they said that people have a right to do it. And then what happens? Well, the Supreme Court says, sorry, they don't have a right to do it. And the pastors really rose up and fought back then, didn't they? No. You know what happened here in Ohio? The Luciferians, they got it on the ballot and they put it in as a constitutional amendment here in Ohio. And you know what else, guys? Pastors wouldn't let you come in and get petitions signed to keep it off of the ballot. We live in unbelievable times, don't we? Unbelievable times.
We really do. And a lot of those pastors, those same pastors who said nothing when Roe v. Wade was kicked back to the states, I don't like to say overturned because it's still going on.
That's right.
But these same pastors, they marched with BLM. A known Marxist organization. So you're okay with that. You're okay with Marxism, putting your stamp of approval on them by marching with them, but you won't say anything about a victory in the fight against abortion.
Well, we've been warned in the book of Jude that evil men have crept in unaware and they changed the truth of God into the lie, and they've worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator, right? So really, most of Christianity for at least 20 years, certainly with the invention of the internet, maybe before that with satellite TV and all that stuff, we've seen Christianity become life enhancement gospel. You come to Jesus because he's going to do all these things for you and give you all these things, and your life's going to be really, really good. And so people flock to that kind of churches with the smoke machines and all the music. I hear people say, oh, I go to that church because I just love the music. I'm thinking, are you really kidding me? That's really what it is. But see, that's all tied to the fact, what? They worshiping themselves.
Yeah, so good. So good.
Yeah, they won't lay anything down.
Coach, we're at the 27-minute mark, and we're going to say goodbye to all of our ACN Terrestrial Radio listeners. Thank you so much for joining us. If you want to hear the remainder of this podcast, which is going to be the juicy part, we're going to talk about how we can civically actually push back. There's this idea that we can't do anything. We can't actually fight back. What does it actually look like to fight back? You know, civil disobedience is a thing, church. And we're going to do it civilly, but we're going to disobey. So we're going to talk with Coach about how to do that, some tangible ways that you can actually do that. So, Caleb, anything at the very end?
No, and I want to hit upon what you were just talking about. You barely touched on that prosperity gospel. I want to open the door to that and talk a little bit more about that. So for our ACN listeners, go to our website, churchandstate.media. Check out our Rumble page, Church and State 1776, also on Facebook. And we'll see you on the next episode. All right, continue on for everyone else. Coach, you just hit upon it. And I love this because we've got to address this in the church. This idea that we're always going to be prosperous, that God only wants to bless us, right? And we're going to see money coming our way. We're going to have great jobs. You know, our families are going to be totally put together. You know, the one thing that Jesus guaranteed us? Persecution. That's what we're guaranteed. We are going to have to fight. Now, we've been blessed in America, and we are apathetic to that blessing anymore. We don't care. We've enjoyed freedom for so long that we don't even know what anything else looks like. Well, that other thing, it's coming our way, and I'd love to get your thoughts on that.
Well, Jesus and what they've told us for a long time, the Great Commission. It took me a long time. A guy named Jamie Waldron, I don't know if you ever had him on your show. You need to get Jamie on your show. Jamie opened my eyes up to something. He's a Marine. Well, they'd say an ex-Marine, but once a Marine, always a Marine.
There you go.
And he says, fellas, a commission, that's a military term. Commissioned officer, it's a military term. And the Great Commission was what? Go into all the world. Teach them to observe all I've commanded you, right? So we got the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. And the commandment is to go and do what? Teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. But if you get deeper in and you begin to read deeply into Matthew, I was just doing it today, Matthew 10, I believe it was, Jesus promises us that we're going to be hated of all men. He said, they hated me first, dudes. They hated me. And when you come, not only are they going to hate you, your brother's going to hate you, your sister's going to hate you, your wife's going to hate you, your neighbors are going to hate you. And what are we preaching? We're preaching a gospel of love, 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 love,
yeah.
love.
Yeah.
How, see, those two things are in direct conflict. So the people in the church think they're obeying God by loving the homosexual, loving the transgender. And oh, come on in, because of God, what, love of God. What about the wrath of God? Huh? What about the wrath of God? God that's being sent from. See, we don't go there, right? We think Almighty God was really a mean old guy in the Old Testament, but then he got born again, and now in that New Testament, he just loved everybody, right?
We've missed it that he can actually simultaneously, like, I know as a man, I have a hard time doing two things at once. Are you good at multitasking?
No.
Coach, are you good at multitasking?
No.
I am actually horrific at it. I have to stop what I'm doing to pay attention to my wife. She can do 16 things at a time.
Are you hearing that? I'm yelling at my wife. She's over. You hear that, Miss Wall? He's like me.
I cannot do a lot at once. I'm barely able to juggle. But here's the thing. God can do two things at the same time really darn well. And here's what they are. God can simultaneously love, because he is love. He is love. But at the same time, he can hate sin. He absolutely hates it. The Bible says he abhors it. And then here's another verse. He says to Israel, when they're in the valley, you know, they're this place of destruction in the valley of Hinnom, or, you know, where it's basically a trash dump in Israel. He says, in there, I did not even imagine. And that's got to sink in to us as Americans. He says, I would not have imagined that you would sacrifice your own children. And that's what, of course, abortion is. When we touch that golden calf, you instantly feel the enemy shriek. You feel Lady Gaga and all that, like that whole community of people that actually revere, and the Satanic Church has come out and said that it's their right to have abortions. It's actually a spiritual right that they compared to communion. They literally compared it to communion. So God can do two things at once. You know, anything you want to say more on that too?
Yeah, he's ambidextrous.
I like that. He can bat either way, or chop.
So he's got the thunderous right hand, right? But he's also got this soft hand over here too. And a lot of times when we're watching this hand, he's doing stuff down here we don't even know is going on, right? He's working in ways that we cannot understand. And also this, I don't want people to take this wrong, because there's really no other way to say it. He's also basically bisexual, meaning this, he has a masculine side and he has a feminine side.
Right? Wow.
And so my wife and I, the marriage is a perfect example of God. He's got this loving, nurturing, caring side, but he's also got the side that we all hated. Did you guys hate it when you were misbehaving a little bit and your mom said, hey,
I'm going to get dad.
You wait till your father gets home, right?
Yeah, I just got scared when your face got closer to the camera. I'm triggered now. I knew
my dad loved me, right? I knew my dad loved me, but he brought that right hand of, you ain't doing that anymore, boy, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea that God's just wanting to, long hair, wants to pet you on the back and love you.
Beauty
and
have sash.
Buddy, we got a mixed up version of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, baby. Huh? You won't even set your eyes on him. You won't even be able to set your eyes on him. And we're selling this guy short, saying he's welcoming everything in. Look, I don't know if you guys have children. Viewers, I don't know if you have children or not. Can you have any idea how horrible it must feel to lose your child? Can you imagine how hard it must be to sacrifice your child? And to think that that Almighty God sacrificed his boy.
Mm.
And then he looks around and watches us kick dirt on it and pee all over it and all that kind of stuff. Woo! We better hope he's womanly. We better hope he's full of mercy, because the Lord knows we're going to need it.
No, I love that. I wanted to touch upon something that you just said, because, you know, it's against human nature to actually desire to not be liked, right? And so, you know, Jesus promises that we'd be hated, that we'd be persecuted. And so just being man, right, and I'm just going to put myself in the role of most pastors in America these days, not all, but most, they want to be liked, right? They want to be liked. And so they've almost realized that there are certain aspects of the church that humanity or government applauds. And so they pour all of their resources into that, you know, feeding the homeless, for example, right? Yeah. Taking care of refugees, right? And this is important. Yes, it is. It's important.
Womanly side. It's the womanly side of God. Yes.
Yes. But that's accepted culturally and by society. And so they pour all of their resources into that. Meanwhile, as you put it, they're not building disciples. They're not actually sending missionaries out into their own cities. Because
they're not defending the weak. They're not defending the weak children, right?
Absolutely.
The fatherless and the women and orphans in their time of need. They're not doing that.
No, but that's because that's not accepted. That's the hateful Christian, the one that will stand in front of a Planned Parenthood and call them out for their sin.
By the way, the woman going into Planned Parenthood is a widow. She ain't got a spouse, right? And the orphans, that little baby in there whose daddy
come
won't
on.
Stand up in the
field, come on, right? That's what true religion
is. It's right there in front of us, and we won't see it, right? The Bible says we're supposed to rescue them in their time of need.
But
isn't
the word
powerful, right?
Isn't the bottle drive where they put change in at your church, and then when they have diapers for the crisis pregnancy center, the diaper drive, isn't that enough, Coach? Isn't that enough? Yeah. I helped with the bottle drive. I gave at least probably, I don't know, $10 and change, and I gave like probably at least $25 worth of diapers. Isn't that enough, Coach? Because that's what our church does. Isn't that enough?
Well, yeah, but come on, Gabe. I'm personally pro-life. I mean, personally, I would never, ever do it. But who am I to tell somebody else what they can do with their body, Coach? Huh? I mean, we're sick, aren't we? Because you know what it tells us in 2 Thessalonians? That because we rejected the truth, the Lord would send strong delusion that they would believe a lie, right? So part of this, what we're seeing is the judgment of God. We're seeing the judgment of God. This transgenderism thing. I get a chance every once in a while to speak to a youth group. I got in public school, believe it or not. Spoke to him yesterday. And I brought up the subject of Bruce Jenner. Now, I said, guys, girls, 1975, when I graduated from college, Bruce Jenner was the world's greatest athlete.
Right. Yep. How normal.
He was on a Wheaties box. He was on Time Mag. He was everywhere you look. He was the stud, right?
Everybody wanted to be him. Yeah.
Everybody wanted to be Bruce Jenner. And then Bruce Jenner has some type of mental illness and all of a sudden start thinking he's a woman and we're supposed to agree with him? Rather than saying something happened to Bruce.
Not even agree. Applaud him. We're forced to applaud him now. We have to. If we don't applaud him, we're in sin. That's the way the world looks at it. He's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It is. See? So what? Evil men, Bible says in Jude, evil men have crept in unaware, changed the truth of God into a lie, worship and serve the creature more than the creator. And so we look around. The average Christian really, really, they don't really understand Christianity. I didn't go to cemetery or anything like that, but I'm smart enough I can read and I can think, and I see a lot of things that they're telling us in the church that isn't true. It doesn't line up with what the Bible says. And by the way, it's taken out of context, right? Well, hey guys, I'm sure you've had this, Gabe. Judge not. We're not supposed to judge, right? We're not supposed to, and that becomes the mantra. And then all the church believes we're not supposed to judge, which, by the way, it's always the other side telling me not to judge. Have you ever noticed that? It's always the other side saying, right? Judge not. And I said, well, you got to read the rest of it, right? Don't judge hypocritically. So the idea, again, Christianity is if you are judgmental, well, you're not loving. You're just not loving. Coach Dave, I hear it all the time. Coach Dave, you have to share the truth in love. I said, no, dude, no, 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 no. The truth is love. The truth is love, right? God is love. Jesus is the truth. When I share the truth, that is love. Sometimes it don't feel very good.
No, and that's the thing, right? Because we have been separated from God because of sin, original sin brought it in, but every single one of us sins every single day. And so we're separated from him. And that's painful. Like I when I go to church, I want to be offended. You know, I mean, I'm looking for that. Like I want a message that offends me that I'm like, oh my gosh, do I need God? Right. And then I try to correct myself. I get more into the word. I pray more and rinse, repeat, because until we're in his presence, that's the cycle that we're stuck in. Right.
So I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
The old football coach, right? The old football coach in me. I'm running football practice. I'm watching everything run. I'm looking at the film after the game, all that stuff. And after the game, we're watching the film, and I stopped the projector, and I called, "Hey, Tim, what are you doing on the? What are you doing there, Tim? What do you do?" And then after it's all over, and I scold them and correct them and everything, they'll come up to me and they say, "Coach, you only point out when I do things wrong." I said, "Dude, that's my job. If you do it right, you're doing what you're supposed to do. I don't have to point that out. You did it right. Good job. You're supposed to do that. My job is to see when you're wrong and get you back on the straight and narrow. We call that coaching, Pastor. We call it coaching. We don't accept it. Say, oh, well, our left tackle, he just sucks. Sorry, he isn't any good. No. It's my job to make him the best guy that he can possibly be. And we've lost all of this and all of this diversity and tolerance and love and who are you to judge? We've lost the real heart of what Christianity is all about.
We've replaced shepherd staves with crooks. We've replaced them with microphones. A microphone is not a shepherd's staff.
No, it's not.
It's not. And there's even, I'm speaking that to myself right now. I literally just felt a backhand from the Lord. This mic is not enough. We got to get out there and do something. Can we all just rack our brains? How can we civilly disobey? Because I've heard till ad nauseum. I've heard about this book and I've heard about the author so many times on many shows, and all of us Christians bring it up. Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals. Books dedicated in the very front to Lucifer. Inside it, it literally is the you know, what's that? Something cookbook, the anarchist cookbook. It's basically that book teaches you how to civilly disobey as a Democrat. They're so much better at it than us. They literally delivered bricks, a crate of bricks to downtown Spokane during the whole entire, like, riot time that was going on in the country where, you know, Khashoggi, Wisconsin was getting burning. They decided that the left would deliver bricks to downtown Spokane, and they chucked these things, guess what, at the Nike store, one of the most liberal places on the planet. But they went ahead and did this. Somebody civically organized them. Some community organizer got them all together. How can we civilly disobey? Because this is the same problem that I run into. I just be honest right now. I would love to go to our mayor, who's extremely liberal, and all she does is just pander to the homeless community. I would love to take my tent and just park it on her front yard here in Spokane and just hang out there and just get my coffee cup and wake up every morning and just hang out on her maybe sidewalk and see how she likes that. And I guarantee you that will move mountains more than just talking about it. What are other ways we can move mountains? Cause I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but I'm thinking about even setting up a tent in front of Planned Parenthood. See what happens. Go camping. Get some s'mores.
Alinsky's Rules for Radicals is an offshoot of what Jesus said. He said the children of this world are wiser in their time than the children, right? The children of the devil are wiser than us. So Rules for Radicals shows us how the devil plays, and it's okay to adopt some of those techniques. Meaning what? Rules for Radicals, they told us this. People hurt sooner than institutions. So if you don't like what's going on with your school board, go to your school board member's house. Ooh. Not only go to your school board member's house, take six of your friends with signs and hold them up. So-and-so is anti-children. So-and-so is anti. I'm telling you, they will bend so fast. See, but we don't want to do that because we don't think that's Christian. So we have to understand, ask ourselves, are we in a war or are we not? Are we to earnestly contend for the faith or are we not? And if we do earnestly contend for the faith, do we have to play by a totally different set of rules than the other side plays? If they throw tomatoes, can I throw tomatoes? And right now they've handcuffed us, and our churches have handcuffed us and said, well, you're allowed to fight, but you're not allowed to fight like that. You're not allowed to fight like that, right? And so ridicule is a very, very powerful. We do that a lot, man. Well, I went to Hillary's house. Do you guys know that?
No way.
I
love it.
Wait. You didn't get suicided? You're still here?
Lucky, I guess. I went back three different times. Three different times I went to Hillary's house. Oh. And what? We went out there. Well, can I tell you real quickly? First time I went by myself. Don't ask me why. I was out mowing my grass. It came to me. I told my wife I'm going to go to Hillary's house. 15 Old House Lane, Chappaqua, New York. And I got there. It took me about 7 hours to get there. You should never go alone, but I went alone. And I got there just before I pulled into Chappaqua, and I pulled over the side of the road. I was ready to wet my pants. I was so nervous. I didn't know what to do. And I just said, Lord, just be with me, Lord. And I drove around it and followed my GPS, 15 Old House Lane, pulled up in that cul-de-sac and circled up in there. And there was a black limo and another cop car sitting there. And I jumped out and opened up the window, doors of my car so they wouldn't know. And I came out with my hands up and they came and circled me and said, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And I said, my name's Dave Dobenmeyer. I'm from outside Columbus, Ohio. And I came to check on one of my employees. And they said, what? I said, yeah, I came to check on one of my employees. They said, sir, we don't think that's funny. A former president of the United States lives here. I said, I know, and his wife's a felon. What are you going to do about that? It was awesome. Awesome.
I love it.
And they looked at my ID and told me, and then told me I had to go when I went home. And I wet my pants all the way home. But I never felt I never felt a burst of adrenaline like that in my life, right? She works for me.
I'm applauding you, sir. I'm applauding you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't stop the applause.
And so we went back. We went back three different times. I've been there. We've been to Obama's house. We've been to Biden's house. Why? Because people hurt faster than institutions. That's Saul Alinsky. Pick the target, freeze it, and go after it, man.
I want to add this as well, because you know, for our audience, and Dave, we're gonna send you the link to the show, and we hope that you share it on your accounts as well, because I want the audience to get very familiar with a book that I fell in love with years ago. It's called Confrontational Politics. It's Senator H.L. Richardson. He's the founder of Gun Owners of America, way better than the NRA. If you still give money to NRA, don't go to GOA. But you got to read this book because it is the conservative version of Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. And you need to highlight that thing. You need to live by that book because that is a tangible way for you to get out there and get effective.
Amen. Well, we got to play to win, right? We got to play to win. Now, I got to throw this in. I don't have much time. I got to throw this in because one of the reasons we're in the mess, and I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but pick your toes up, is theological. This end time madness we're facing, the idea that everybody's going to be raptured out of here, and I'm not taking a position on that. If you think we're going to be raptured out of here, then you're not going to do anything about it because you think, well, it's just going to get worse, and that's the way it is. And coach, you're spinning your wheels, you're working against the Lord. But the Bible says, occupy till I come. So no matter how bad it looks and whether or not I think I'm going to be raptured tomorrow, I ought to be working hard every day to advance the kingdom of God. And the church, it's just the opposite. The church sits back because, there isn't anything we can do about it. It's separation between the church and state, and Jesus is coming. And right? That's our attitude, right?
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. And Coach Dave, Gabe and I are both pre-wrath. We believe that we are going to be here for a lot of what is described in Revelation. So we're right there with you. And it's not something, you know, I say this a lot. You know, you can be pre-trib and you're still my brother in Christ. Okay.
That's right.
But that being said, I personally think that is dangerous doctrine because number one, it encourages just what you said. You know, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, but Jesus is coming. So I'm just going to sit on my hands. The other danger with that mindset is when persecution comes, is your faith strong enough to realize I was wrong and I'm still going to have all my faith in Jesus Christ, or is it going to be shattered?
Oh boy. Perspective is everything, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So I'd like to say to those people, look, I don't want to debate it. Paul said, foolish and unlearned questions avoid, for they do gender strifes, right? It ain't worth arguing about it. I go to them, I say, listen, believe the soon coming rapture, you think it's coming? Okay, how about giving me all your money in your bank? Will you give that to me now? Because when you leave, somebody else is going to get it. Give it to me. How about this? How about going and changing your will and leaving your house to me? Would you do that? Well, no, they don't believe it that much, do they? Mm-hmm. They don't believe it that much. So I tell people the chances of you dying are far greater than the chances of you being raptured, because everybody in the grave today died. They weren't raptured, right? So I'm not trying to make fun of that theology, any of that kind of stuff. But I know that when the Lord returns, he's supposed to find me with a hammer in my hand trying to build the kingdom.
Amen to that. Yeah. Now, Gabe, did you have anything else? I know Coach Dave has to leave here in just a few minutes here.
Yeah, no, we want to be in contact, and the to me, I think just, and I know you could agree with this, the work has only just begun. I think one of the illusions is that because Roe v. Wade was pushed back to the states, we all got this false sense of accomplishment. We all cried and rejoiced and thank God. But the reality is there's actually more babies being killed right now, and it's an abomination. And the really unique thing about the story of Gideon is he had to do something before he found his 300 mighty men. And I think a lot of us are scratching our heads. Why haven't we found the 300 mighty men? Why haven't I found the 300 mighty men to help me? Why? Because you never pushed down the Asherah pole in your town. That's the first thing Gideon was called to do. He actually took down the idols and the Molechs in his town. Then the people lined up with him. And I think we're all thinking, where's the guys to help me? But I know for years you've done it. You've tore down the pole. Like the going to Hillary's house, that was tearing down a pole moment.
It was, brother. It was, right? And the Georgia Guide Stones, I could go on and on and
on.
Oh,
boy,
we went and we prayer walked and staked the Georgia Guide Stones. Those dudes are down, man. That's a whole nother show.
And wasn't it Ohio where that brave soldier and minister tore down the satanic statue?
No, that was in Iowa, I think.
Oh, Iowa. Okay.
Yeah, we sound the same, though. We do sound the same. So let me finish with this, because I think attitude is everything. Again, remember, I'm a football coach, right? And as a football coach, I had to teach our football players that no matter what the scoreboard said, you got to fight to the end. You got to keep playing to the end. Every play, every down, keep playing to the end. And unfortunately, we have a lot of people in American Christianity who are scoreboard watchers. They're watching the scoreboard, see how much time's left on the clock. I said, it doesn't matter how much time's left on the clock. As long as there's time on the clock, we continue to play. So I've been following this a little bit. And see, we think, for the most part, most Christians think in a linear way, 1950, 1960, 1970, 1980. God doesn't do like that. God calls them times and seasons, right? Ecclesiastes says, to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. God thinks in cycles, not linearly. And I believe that we are at the end of a very, very dark cycle. I'm a little bit older than you guys, right? But I remember when the Beatles came over, and then Jimi Hendrix came over, and then LSD came, and then Tune In and Turn On and Drop Out, and then the pill, and then divorce legalized, and on. We went through the most unbelievable dark 60, 70-year period probably in the history of American civilization, and I think we're into that cycle. I think the sun is getting ready to come back up. Why do I think that? Because Jesus said in the last days, he'd pour out his spirit upon all flesh. His sons and daughters will prophesy. The old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions, right? Folks, the sun's coming up in America. If we would simply get up and get on our horses and begin to proclaim, thus saith the Lord, go into all the world, teach them to observe all I've commanded you. We can still have the greatest revival the world has ever seen right before us, but we have to have the mentality to do it. And unfortunately, as you look around, there aren't many of us, are there, boys? There aren't many. But the British are coming, baby. They're coming. Reinforcements are coming. And I believe the greatest hour of Christianity lies in front of us, not behind us.
Amen to that. You know, we were just with Clay Clark, our good friend, and he showed a video of Tim Tebow with the Denver Broncos. And it was one of those fourth quarter. They were losing. They hadn't scored at all. And Tebow was able to march them down the field. And they tied and then ultimately won the game. All right.
Yeah.
Last seconds, right?
Remember, yeah.
And everybody in the stands was cheering, and everybody's watching it on television. We're right there with them, right? We're with the Denver Broncos. Even if you don't like the Denver Broncos, you love that comeback story. And that's us. We're all on the sidelines. Like, get in the field right now. Yes. Get into the action. Yes. Get into the battle. That's what's required of us as Christians and as patriots.
So Amen. We got to know this, guys. I love this line, right? I always called it the NASCAR crowd. I've been saying for 10 years that the revival in America was going to come from what I called the NASCAR crowd, not the church folk.
Yeah.
Those guys that got God tattooed on their arm, but wouldn't know him if he walked through the door. You know what I'm talking about? The guys that don't want their son to be homecoming queen. You know what I'm talking about?
Or the ones that have We the People tattooed on their arm and don't even know the Constitution.
That's it, man. And that's what's rising up. We see it with Bud Light, right? We see it with Target stores, that the unchurched in a lot of ways are the ones who are rising up and pushing back. And we've got to be careful, because we can allow this to become an unholy, unrighteous pushback. We got to make sure that we're out in a way that's going to glorify the Lord. So we have to grab the mantle. We have to run out in front, carry the banner of Christ, and say, onward, Christian soldiers. And I think our greatest days are still ahead.
I want to encourage you, if any of us get depressed or ever feel like the country's slipping, go to either a NASCAR event or go to a rodeo. If you ever want to feel like the sweet American vibes that you miss from the 80s, go to a rodeo. Because yeah, they're there. Amen. Hey, a couple of like in-house things before we let you go. We just want to just put Pass the Salt Ministries up. Anybody who wants to go support Coach Dave, go look. I guarantee you, check out his podcast. He's up really at the what I would call the butt crack of dawn, very early, running shows, mentoring people. Please check out Pass the Salt Ministries.
Coach and then, Dave Live is the easiest place.
Coach Dave Live. Coach
that is
Dave.
Pass the Salt. Coach okay. Dave Live.
Coach yep. Dave yep. Live. And then the other thing for our local people, can you do us a favor right now? Share this episode, comment. Also, please go to our Rumble page, Church and State 1776. We really want to start building some traction there because Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg are doing everything they can to shadow ban here. So please go over to Rumble, like and subscribe, Church and State 1776. Type that whole thing out. Go to our Rumble page. Coach Dave, is there any last words that you'd like to say?
Sun's coming up, baby. That's what I'm saying. Occupy till I come. I used to tell our football players this. When we would get behind, the game's about over, look up the scoreboard, and they're running out the clock on us, right? I'd always tell those guys, I said, listen, fellas, I'd call time out, get in the huddle. I said, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to watch this last minute of this film. After the game's over, I'm going to plug that thing in. I'm going to watch every one of you. And if I find one of you quitting, mm-hmm. you'll never step on the field again.
Wow.
That's got to be our attitude.
Come on. Now,
play to the end, baby.
Come on.
Win or lose, run. Play to the end. And not surrender. We give up. You win. No. Fight to the end. Occupy till he comes. Bless you guys. Thanks for having me.
I love it. Yeah. Thank you, Coach Dave. We really appreciate it. Church and State is brought to you in part by Patriot Church.
I'm Pastor Gabe, and a calm does not suit me.
I'm Caleb Collier. I was born for a storm.
Welcome to the fire.
The doctor that I recommend for all of your needs is the Underground Clinic doctor, Dr. Troy Spurl.
Because Dr. Troy is the best doctor, bar none.
You know, this is the great thing about officialsignups.com is it's in all 50 states. You don't have to be in Michigan or Minnesota. You can be in Hawaii, you can be in Florida, and you can find a doctor that you can trust. If you are still wearing a mask, if you have rolled up your sleeve and gotten all the jabs and all the boosters, then Official Signups is not for you. You want to go find one of those big pharma doctors that'll give you all the prescriptions you want and you can live a very sickly life.
Well, if you're looking for a doctor for yourself or maybe even a doctor for your family or a doctor who's not going to push vaccines on you, you want to go to officialsignups.com. You for sure need to mention Church and State when you go to officialsignups.com to take part in all the savings, all the great deals for you and your family.
With the rise of the BRICS nations, you've got a lot of nations that are gathering together and they're all doing a gold-backed currency. The United States is not, and the petrodollar is starting to fail. And my suggestion to all of you would be to get behind gold and silver because that is the currency that is always going to have value.
I might not be a gold or silver guru, but I want to have something tangible in my hands at the end of the day. So I would definitely recommend every one of you go to bh-pm.com.
All you got to do is look around and see that the price of everything is increasing. Gold and silver is on the rise. It's being artificially suppressed. You want to schedule a consultation right now so that your families don't end up in the breadline and you're saying, please, sir, can I have some more?
Stop waiting. What are you waiting for? 4 years from now, prices are going to be absolutely astronomical. Go to bh-pm.com. Get a consultation now. You definitely want to mention Church and State. It will get you the best prices. It will get you the best consultation advice. Use Church and State when you go to bh-pm.com.
MyPillow.com has got more than just pillows. You've got your slippers, your bathrobes. You have towels that actually dry you off, not the kind you buy at Walmart where it's just kind of a slick mess. They have got some of the best products out there. The sheets are absolutely incredible. I think it's 1,000 count. It's the best products you can buy. And the pillows even have silencer technology in it. And so if you need a day where you're just going to scream into your pillow, don't worry, your neighbors won't hear you.
Why would you want to go to Bed Bath & Beyond? First of all, they're out of business. You want to go support an American-made product, go to MyPillow.com. And then you're also supporting one of the nation's most, I would say, Jesus-filled and a company that is completely, completely built on the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you're getting a 2-for-1 there. You know you've wanted good night's sleep for years. You're tossing, you're turning. Just go now. Go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code Church and State.
C-H-U-R-C-H-A-N-D-S-T-A-T-E.
That's Church and State.
You do not want to eat synthetic meat. If you can grow a meat in a lab, if you want to go ahead and have Soylent Green on the table, feel free to eat this garbage that Target's trying to throw out. But if you want actual meat that's been freeze-dried, it's been processed by actual human beings, go to griddownchowdown.com.
Look, the World Economic Forum has declared a war on red meat. They hate the cows. They hate the cow farts. There is supply chain issues. And for me, you can pry my steak from my cold, dead hands.
If you want a meat that's going to last freeze-dried 10 years or more, this is the product you want.
I want all of you to go to griddownchowdown.com. Use the promo code CHURCHANDSTEAK. These are fantastic freeze-dried raw beef. The blood is still in it. You just rehydrate it and add it to your favorite meal, and you are ready to go. And remember, the Holy Word of God tells us, for one person has faith to eat all things, while another who is weak eats only vegetables. That's Romans 14:2.
This was sacred to God.
Now is the time to act.
This is exactly why I need some action for my people.
Everybody, it's an honor to be with you.